All right, thank you very much, everybody. Let's go to the first item on the regular agenda.
Item 768, revised transit lodging tax code to provide administrative subpoena authority to the director of the revenue division to ensure compliance with short-term rental laws and regulations.
Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Madam President. And we welcome Thomas Lanham to explain this matter. The City of Portland regulates short-term rentals like Airbnb and HomeAway. We have a duty to ensure that guests are safe. For example, that every short-term rental unit has basic safety features like a working smoke detector. Unfortunately, many of the short-term rental companies have done everything they can to thwart regulators, and in doing so are putting consumers at risk. Despite repeated promises from some of these companies, over 70% of all short-term rental units in this city continue to operate illegally. Today, we are seeking council approval of a new tool to help ensure public safety and compliance with our rules. And with us this morning is Revenue Bureau Director Thomas Lanham to walk us through the ordinance. Welcome.
Thank you, Commissioner. My name again is Thomas Lanham. I'm the Revenue Division Director, and joining me is Scott Modi from the City Attorney's Office, should you have any questions for him. I think Commissioner Fish covered the background pretty well, so I'll be brief. The ordinance before you this morning arises from prior City Council direction and Resolution 37287, passed on May 24, 2017. The ordinance grants administrative subpoena authority to the Revenue Division to enforce provisions of the Transient Lodging Tax Code. Enforcement of the city's fire, life, safety, and tax code provisions is extremely difficult in the short-term rental market because websites such as Airbnb, HomeAway, and others obscure the actual listing address and contact information until a location is actually booked and paid for. On some of the websites, hosts can actually drag and drop a pin anywhere they choose on a map representing their listing location. And this is what is displayed to guests and city enforcement officers, which obviously complicates the enforcement environment. The Revenue Division has one staff person assigned to investigate thousands of potentially non-compliant listings and locations, and this person must currently attempt to correctly identify actual rental locations using multiple databases and tools before determining their code compliance. This is a very time-consuming and frequently problematic approach to enforcement. In some instances, our enforcement officer is ultimately unable to determine the actual location information from the sparse information available and must move on to the next listing. City code currently grants the Revenue Division authority to require short-term rental websites to provide host information. The division has attempted to exercise this authority on multiple occasions, including assessments of thousands of dollars in civil penalties, but the short-term rental websites have refused to comply, citing federal preemption. Many of the websites have taken the position that absent subpoena authority, the Revenue Division cannot require them to provide host data. Subpoena authority is necessary to quickly and accurately identify short-term rental listings and locations. If this ordinance is adopted by council, it is our intent to request only that information which is necessary to enforce the city code and no more. Such information will, at a minimum, include the listing address, host, manager, or agent name and contact information, and any other records necessary to validate the listing, the legality of the listing or the location. And I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
So we have a letter from Airbnb that states the City Council should reject the ordinance because it conflicts and is preempted by the Federal Stored Communications Act, or SCA, which was passed to protect due process and privacy rights. Is that true?
Well,
are we preempted by the SCA?
Commissioner Scott Modi for the City Attorney's Office, I believe we are not. City Charter, specifically Section 2-105A1, which is the police power provision of the Charter, we believe allows council and then by delegation under 2-104 to give us, that is the city authority, to issue the subpoenas. Basically, that 2105A was enacted by the legislature as part of the city's legislative charter back in 1903, And therefore, our position is that the SCA does not preempt the city from issuing the subpoenas. So that, you know, I could cite some additional cases to you, but that's the gist of our opinion.
So that section of our charter goes back to 1903?
Yes, it does.
So I assume we would argue that it's not preempted because of its long time.
Yeah, and I think
antiquity almost.
Sure, yeah. And there's provisions in the SCA that specifically state if there is a state authority, that is a state authority to issue a subpoena, then the SCA does not preempt. And by basically analogy, because the city's charter was effectively adopted by the state legislature, we get the same authority.
Thank you.
Let me just add to my two cents on this. I haven't seen the letter from Airbnb, but I will say, having reviewed the record in the HomeAway litigation, which is about a foot or 2 feet of pleadings that both Ken and Scott in the legal department have worked on, we may disagree. We probably disagree on a lot of things with some of these big internet short-term rental companies. One thing we can agree on is their creative use of legal arguments to thwart regulators. And they have every right to claim every single preemption and defense known to man. Having read the pleadings, though, I give them credit for being especially creative in all their theories. And at the end of the day, and this is my interpretation, what they fear the most is that if we get the information of where their hosts are located, and if we enforce the law, it may be that a lot of those hosts cannot come into compliance with the law. And that means they won't be able to collect a fee from people advertising an illegal unit on their platforms. And since there's a lot of money at stake, I'm not surprised that they've kicked up so much legal dust. I will also say that if someone gets a lawful subpoena from the city, they're of course free to challenge it in a legal proceeding. So if they believe it's preempted or they have any other defenses, I can assure you, Airbnb and HomeAway will not be shy about going to court and trying to convince a judge.
I agree with that, Commissioner. We've certainly had several lawsuits over the course of the last few years.
I will offer just kind of a homey analogy, because I think sometimes the legal stuff gets complicated and we lose track of the human side. In my view, the position taken by these big internet out-of-state companies that are matchmakers, that match, you know, guests with hosts, is not dissimilar from the Hilton company announcing that as its new policy, they're not going to publish the address of their hotels. You would say that's absurd if Howard Johnson and Motel 6 and the Hilton said that it's a matter of privacy, we're not going to disclose where our hotels are. That is sort of the equivalent of what these internet companies are doing. And as a result, they are potentially putting guests in harm's way. And that's the part where the city has a concern.
And to add on to that, Commissioner, we're not asking for the purchasers' information. Is that correct? People who rent Airbnbs?
Correct. Our concern is there's a host and a guest. When guests rent, we want to make sure they're safe. And we're talking about things like a working smoke detector. So we want to make sure the guests are safe. And the only way we can do that is to ensure that the law is enforced as against the hosts. And currently, a lot of these companies refuse to disclose the address and the names of their hosts, making it very difficult for Thomas to do his job.
Thank you. Other questions? Thank you very much. We'll hang around and see if there's public testimony. We might want you to respond to. Thank you.
No one else signed up.
Okay. If anybody would like to come and testify on this item, in addition to Mr. Lightning, please come forward. Good morning.
Yes, my name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Super Watchdog X. One of the things that Airbnb and HomeAway, and I suggested when some of the representatives were here, is a course on the smoke detectors. And I wanted to take it one step farther to also have a fire extinguisher in every room. And I think they were open to those ideas. And it's my understanding that Airbnb and HomeAway are also beginning to have units that are inspected for a certain plan that they offer to certain guests that state that these units have been inspected for safety purposes, to make sure these units are safe is, in my opinion, the main objective on these type of units. And again, it's my understanding they're moving forward in a positive manner in that direction. Now, on the SCA Act and the privacy issues, I'm at total agreement with Airbnb and HomeAway from their position, and I feel that they will challenge you and possibly, when we're talking on the charter itself in effect in 1903, I think we would all agree that a lot of these things are outdated and not up with the times, and we have to really look at this again to understand the direction these high-tech companies are going. And when we're talking about something put in place in 1903, I really don't think they were thinking in the Portland location of Airbnb and HomeAway and the amount of dollars they're bringing into this city, basically through the world as far as on how they're operating their businesses. I think in the long run we'll see the true benefits to the city. And again, safety is my number one priority too in on any type of unit, whether it's just apartment buildings, hotels, or again, Airbnb and HomeAway. So I think they're moving forward and making progress. Thank you.
Good morning. Mary Seid. There's another safety issue that I think should be brought forward that a lot of people aren't aware of, and that's the safety of neighbors where these units are being occupied. In the building that I live in, there was a problem for about a year with people subleasing their units through Airbnb. What this meant to people like me residing in a building in a downtown core area was that people that we did not know were having free access to come and go in our buildings. And the unfortunate thing was that the management had no way of identifying what units except by what the neighbors were telling them. So this proposal that you have, this ordinance, will also help management companies in buildings where people are illegally subleasing through these venues to protect the people living in those buildings from, who knows, might be renting these spaces just to get into that building. And so that's just another safety feature. And so I fully support this and appreciate what the city is doing in this arena. Thank you.
Thank you. Council discussion? This is an emergency. Please call the road.
Saltzman?
Well, I appreciate this action here, and I do think issues around whether it's constitutional for us to require these records will be no doubt determined by the courts. But it's our step here to move the ball forward here and act on behalf of our residents and our guests who visit our city to make sure that they are safe. That is the prime imperative. Aye.
Udaly?
I'm very pleased to see this ordinance go into effect. Short-term rental hosts are operating businesses out of their homes. We require businesses to have permits. We require businesses to have fire inspections and working fire extinguishers. I just find it nonsensical that short-term rental hosts would be treated any differently. We have an obligation as a city to enforce our code, especially around safety for the guests in these short-term rentals. And as Mary said, there is a problem with safety for neighbors and neighborhoods. I live across the street from two Airbnbs. And there's also the issue of the impact on our housing stock. And without the addresses and names of these hosts, We have no way of knowing whether hosts are listing illegal full-time year-round Airbnb. So that is another issue of mine. And frankly, these companies have created platforms where they aid and abet their hosts in flouting local rules and regulations. So I'm thrilled to vote aye.
Fish.
So I appreciate the eloquent words of my colleagues. Let me just step back for a second and make sure everyone understands what we're doing today and what we're not doing today. What we're not doing today is preventing companies like HomeAway and Airbnb from operating legally in our community. That question has already been decided. What we are doing today is giving the Revenue Bureau another tool to ensure that people are following the law. And to those who would like to frame this as part of government run amok and the regulatory state run amok, let's be clear about what the obligation of the Revenue Bureau is. It is to ensure that someone has obtained a business license, is paying taxes, and that the units are safe. As Commissioner Udaly noted, those are the obligations we impose on every business in our community. And where we are talking about the safety of a guest, we have, I think, even a higher burden of ensuring that the unit is safe. We have been fought and resisted at almost every juncture over the last few years in our efforts to enforce basic health and safety laws. And I'm very pleased that in the last 6 months, this council has taken so many affirmative actions to attempt to bring the industry into compliance with the law. I want to thank Ken McGair and Scott Moda for the outstanding legal work they've done. A lot of it's unheralded. But these companies litigate every question extensively and appeal every issue until they settle. And we're seeing a pattern of obstruction, litigation, and then settling in some city and establishing the national precedent. It'd be a point of pride, for our city if we became the standard that other cities then can piggyback off of in ensuring public health and safety. Again, I want to thank the voters that overwhelmingly passed Measure 26-194, which gave us the authority to update our code to adapt to changes in technology. I'm proud to serve on a council that issued a subpoena demanding that Uber turn over certain records. And today's action is another in what I consider a sort of a suite of actions we've taken with the primary purpose of protecting public health and safety. God help us the first time someone is seriously injured or worse in a unit that is not safe. And we didn't do everything in our power to ensure that our basic health and safety laws are enforced. I'm very proud to support this today. Aye.
Fritz. Well, thank you, Commissioner Fish, for your leadership on this. I did learn in correspondence with an Airbnb host this year that it is possible to put the permit number on their platform. It's not mandatory, however. So there's obviously many things that we could do, and I share my colleagues' concerns for safety and inspections. Every other business has to do that. Why should these be exempt? When it comes to issues of healthcare, with my 27 years as a registered nurse, my colleagues often defer to me. On issues of law, I always take Commissioner Fish's guidance on his legal mind as to the issues that some of the platforms have raised. And on affordable renting housing, obviously Commissioner Udaly is the leader in experience, and I appreciate her thoughts on this one. So it's more complicated than it might seem. And still, this is, I believe, another step in the right direction. Aye.